there, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today's an exciting day for me because today we're going to talk to you about something very dear to my heart and dear to your heart, too. We're going to talk about home. We're going to talk about family. Family's a funny thing. You know, I keep hearing from many people who say WBAI is their family. They feel like we're their family. And many people feel isolated and alone and that there's, you know, no family left. Spoke to a man yesterday. He was 71 years old. He said, well, they're all gone. He said, I have except for my son. He said, everybody else is gone. My brothers, my sisters, my mother, my father. He said, so I have, you know, a wife. He said, but we don't feel that close. He said, so the feeling of home is not very present. So here's a question. How do you create a feeling of home in a few different ways? Like, how do you create this feeling of home for yourself? How do you create this feeling of home for you and your mate, if you have one? For you and your child, if you have one? Or how do you create this feeling of home for visiting family or visiting friends? Now, there's three different places where you could be the center of having a certain sense that I think that people need. If you're in an apartment, how does it feel? You know, I mean, how does it feel? How does it feel to, is it friendly? Or is your home unfriendly? Now, friendly is, it welcomes people. Your home is kind of, has arms. And when people walk in the door, the colors, the furniture, it kind of invites them. It's like open arms. Now, I'm sure you've seen it. It's a combination of things. You don't need a lot of money here to do this. It's just a sense of comfort and beauty mixed together. That's the nicest invitation you could get when you go to someone's house. Do you ever go to someone's house and you walk in and the TV is blaring and you feel like an invader? That's a different feeling. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're trying to talk about a way of creating spaces. And it's not just home we're talking about. We're talking about the sense of family today. And I'll be hearing from you today. So beauty, if you're trying to welcome, if you're stuck on your own and you believe you're going to be alone for the rest of your life and you want to keep people out of your home, you're very likely to create a home of exquisite beauty. I know a lot of people who are very simple. And they have a simple home and a simple life, and it's very beautiful to them, but it's uninviting. I remember being invited to someone's house once. It was a person who lived alone. And I went to their house, and the house was very neat and very nice, but just nice. And I sat at a kind of an uncomfortable table. The seating was uncomfortable. The chairs were wooden, and they had nothing covering them. And I remember when being served, I had a little bit of food, and I asked her, and she said she has three dishes, three cups, only three. She doesn't have four. She said, if I have a mate, and if I have a boyfriend at the time, then it'll be the two of us. We may invite one other person over. She said, I never entertain two couples. If I have a boyfriend, it'll be just him and me. And if I don't have a boyfriend, I may invite another couple over, but I only need three things. She has three cups, three saucers, three forks, three spoons. I really mean it. I promise this is true. And this is the way she lived. She kept everything minimal, but beautiful, because she was convinced that she was alone. And so she had to create the beauty by herself. You know, one of the terrible things about having a full set of silver is you never use it because there's nobody to come over. You know, it's like having too many glasses. You feel lonely. So sometimes people get rid of it. But I think you shouldn't give up. I think you shouldn't give up. I think you should use that silverware and use that furniture and use those glasses and find friends. Now, what do you do when friends come over? Here's a good question for you. Many of you are going to call in and answer this. It seems inevitable that if you're inviting a group of friends over or family over, food is going to become a nice welcoming ingredient. That seems to make sense. Food. Something unusual. A little something, you know, like sometimes snacks. You don't invite people over necessarily for dinner, but you do invite people over. Usually you have a snack around, and some of you might have celery and carrots and some kind of a dip, and then somewhere else you might have something that people would not see in abundance normally, like pieces of cheese or olives or something like that. And these are all kind of welcoming. It's all kind of a welcoming thing. If you get nervous and you want to pop something in your mouth, you could go ahead and do it. And I've taken the care to put this out for you. But then I've noticed times that people have things laying out, and things like chicken wings, and then you have no place to put the trash. Plan it. Give people that comfort. Give them a napkin. Give them a trash bag, you know, a trash basket somewhere nearby. So if it's going to be messy, try not to make it that kind of thing that you're lying around, because it's going to get messy. Somehow in your mind, try to protect against messiness, so that you don't have to be the person who's going there cleaning up all the time or resenting people not cleaning up. You see, you got to try to take resentment out of the formula. Now, one of the ways to do it is to engage other people to help you in the creation of, the providing of, and the cleaning of the party or gathering. And the way you have them involved at the very beginning is you let them have their own ideas. You don't treat them like they're just your assistants. If they have the dish of olives and you say put it in the living room and they want to put it somewhere that seems completely illogical to you, let them put it there. Let it be theirs. Let it be their creation. Somehow you've got to kind of work with people. Because there's one thing about being somebody who serves all the time, like the Jewish holidays are coming up, and you know, there are people who are now, and there are people who spend the entire time just cooking, preparing, getting, and, you know, providing and cleaning up. And they're never there. So you kind of think of them as the person who walks in and out with the food. You know, and they're not there. They're not at the party. They're not at the place. It does not create a great feeling of home. I was at a place recently where there was food being served all the time, and the people who I wanted to see were the people who were serving. I never got a chance to talk to them. So if we're talking about a feeling of home and family, one of the things you want to do is try to make things happen in a way so that you could be present. Now, a lot of people, you know, are phobic of other people. A lot of people who throw parties or gatherings are really afraid of being intimate with other people. So they do this busyness so that they never make contact. They're busy all the time. Busy, busy, busy. And the other people say, what a wonderful party, but you didn't go. You were just not even serving. Now, you know, it may be personal to taste, but I think a little music somewhere in the background always makes a difference, both to family and to friends as well. And if that's true, if you have an intimate relationship, if you have a partner, you know, maybe that music strings the chords of the heart just the way we talked about yesterday, where the heart has its own wisdom. And if your heart has a wisdom and it hears music, as we were exploring yesterday on the program, then maybe providing that kind of heart strumming, you know, might be a little nice somewhere in the background, somewhere off, not too loud. But it doesn't take away the beauty of dance. A gathering where people can move together is fantastic. It's almost never, if it's a family and the family gets a chance to either play music together or dance together, it's always a major success. Just consider it. I know of someone who at Christmas time gets together with her brothers and sisters, and they make it, everybody has an instrument, and it's part of a deal. And everybody comes, and they find they're not people who play music usually, but they come together, and they get together, and they play together, and it's kind of a wonderful thing. There's something about candles that do make a difference. They do bring a kind of a warmth to a place. If you're by yourself, if you're with your mate, you know, even if you're watching television, a candle, somehow, again, it touches the heart, not necessarily the brain mind. And this is what I think we wanted to continue, because following up today from where we were yesterday, we showed that the heart has a brain of its own. It has a receptor. And it's a receptor to this feeling of safety. And the feeling of safety comes from a feeling of family and a feeling of home, having shelter and having connection. Both are very important, my friends. Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We'll be taking your calls a little later. So how do you create this feeling so that you are catering to the heart of the person walking in, not the mind? How do you get to the brain heart, the heart brain of your family and your friends? This is what the show is about today. Well, one of the ways is to make sure you recognize every person who walks in the door, and somehow that person has a sense of importance. And that means at least one person has to get up, rise from a chair whenever somebody walks in a room. You get up and you go greet them. If you don't do it and somebody else does it, that's cool. It's all right. It's fine. But there should be a greeting. You should be welcomed when somebody walks in a door. Try doing it with your husband or your wife. Watch what happens. Try doing it with your children when they come home. Welcome them home. Don't just look over and see them and say, "Hi, Carl." You know, see what it's like to welcome them home. See what it's like to say, "I'm glad you're here." And if you're any 12-year-olds listening, is where I know we have two or three, welcome your parents when they come home. You know, welcome them. No, just don't wave at them. Just don't think it's time to shut off the TV. All right, see, try to make everybody feel important. Now, another thing, if you're going to someone's home, do you bring something or don't you bring something? If you're appealing to the heart. Well, it's a question. Because some people say to you, don't bring anything, just bring yourself. Right? That's what they say. And you know why they say that? Because they want to control the environment. They don't want you to bring something that they're going to have to deal with. They want to get all the specific foods. They want to have everything. These are controlling people. You know, you could say, no, nothing is necessary. But I prefer if you tell people to bring water. Bring some bottled water, bring some Pellegrino, bring some anything. Sure, anything you want to bring some flowers. Now, the beauty of flowers is nice because one of the things you could do in preparing for this is just have vases sitting around so it's real simple. Have vases of water filled, four of them filled, and you tell people, they'll bring flowers. You know, and people enjoy that. They love doing it. It's a very simple thing. Or bring plants. You know, bring a plant. They'll find a plant. They'll find something to bring over. A plant is really nice because it lasts, especially if it's a green plant and not a flowering plant. You know, if you could afford it, an orchid is a beautiful thing to bring as a gift. But sometimes they're very expensive. So if you're asking somebody what to do, you bring something. If people ask you what to bring, instead saying, you know, anything you feel like bringing, we don't need anything, but anything you feel like bringing, and if you really want to bring something, some water, some Pellegrino, some flowers, something like that. Do not throw a party where you just ask people to bring desserts. I did that once. I had a Christmas party for my staff. I had everything prepared that was coming up, and I told them to bring sweets. Well, I said, bring a dessert. It was a disaster. Everybody brought a dessert. There was so much dessert there. It was actually horrible. It was terrible. And the amount of sweets and sugars and pastries and cakes, it all had to be thrown away, you know. It was a real pity. So I would recommend that you don't tell people to just stick to something like desserts because, you know, it's pretty hard to please people with desserts. Now, are you somebody who entertains but is absent? You know, do you want to be there? Don't you want to be there? Is there a purpose for being there? Do try to remember that the main idea here is bonding. The main idea is to try to create some kind of a heart bond for yourself and for other people. That if you're providing it, you're the person who wants to, you're giving this to people. I mean, alcohol. Let's talk about alcohol. A lot of people are very down on alcohol automatically, but they're not so down on eggnog. at Christmas, you know? I mean, if there is something that people prefer alcohol, and if it's part of your family, like I remember my family when I was a kid, there was always a bottle of red wine somewhere. If that's a part of it, it doesn't have to be a no-no unless you really feel like you don't want to have alcohol in your house. You know, people used to smoke a lot at homes, and nobody smokes now. You know, nowadays you can't smoke in a home. So as much as you don't limit is best. So this is, we're talking about the feeling of home, my friends, because it's a feeling that you could create in your life. A feeling of family, a feeling of home is available to you. It's available to you with friends. It's available to you. Just look, and it's right there for you. Make your own home the kind of place you would want to welcome people. And I've heard people say, I don't want to have anybody come over because my house is a mess. Well, there's an important statement there. Part of the reason that people clutter their homes is, number one, to give them an artificial sense that somebody is there, all the clutter, usually magazine articles. And the second reason is to keep other people away. So part of your clutter is keeping people away. And it may mean that maybe you're afraid of having that feeling of home. Maybe you're homophobic. What about you? How do you feel about it? So here are a number of ways I'm going to have you that you deal with people who are in your life, who come to you, especially if it's a family or a family gathering. Number one rule that I like is that it is not required to be in a good mood. Welcome bad moods. There's nothing more that feels like family than being able to be yourself when you go over there. If you're in a bad mood, be a bad mood. If you feel sour and gripey and you really feel that way, you go home. Go to your friends. Go to your family. And try not to contaminate them too much with whatever negativity you're feeling, but feel right to be there. And if people ask you, how are you? Say, I'm out of sorts. You know, I'm out of sorts, but it's really great to be here. And people will give you room. If you give somebody room to be in a bad mood, you know, it's really what family's about. Because if you got to be in a good mood every time you go to your family, it's really tough. This is Armand DeMille. Another thing you could do is take photographs. Photographs are a kind of interesting thing. People like them, unless they're intrusive. You know, unless it's intrusive, you know, I want to take a picture. Give people cameras. It's really wonderful with cell phones nowadays that have flashes on them. Let people take pictures. Let them mail them around. Or have you take some pictures. Or take your camera and give it to people. You know, you have digital cameras nowadays. You could wipe out any pictures that you don't like so easily. So it's not a very big expense. It's actually no expense at all. Take the pictures, then you can mail them. You know, you could email pictures, photographs to each other. You know, show you that family. Be generous with appreciation of other people. Show your appreciation. You know, appreciation is a heart overflowing with joy. It's a beaming smile. It's a warm handshake. Appreciation is something that strokes the heart far greater than anything you could do for somebody's mental status, you know? Just telling people, I really liked your dance. I saw what you did. That's nothing, but you show it with an appreciative feeling, and it touches people. Now, here's something that's a little unusual that you might consider. This is a really radical idea, but it's something that is one of the major bonding factors when surveying many families about who felt the closest. Eat your meals outdoors when you can. Try to have meals outdoor. If it's possible that you have a way of having meals outdoors, there's something fantastic about creating meals outdoors, including if it's just putting it on a table with paper plates and stuff like that. There is something about that outdoor feeling that is very different than the indoor feeling. Also, extend your family setting, you know. Sometimes we get stuck. We only want family invited. And extend that circle. Let people bring people. Welcome them. And let yourself feel the expansiveness of having these new people in the group. Now, in every group, every family, there's usually a group of what's called in-betweeners. An in-betweener is somebody who is growing to the age where they don't want to be a part of the family, where they feel like they have to break away. You know, this is like a little chickling who wants to get away from its mother goose or something, or gooseling, and it's something who feels like, you know, I've got to try it on my own. If you're a little, you know, a little tiger and you just say, I can't be around my family, I got to try it on my own. For a little while, you reject your family. You may even disagree with them. You may even pick political disagreements. You may reject their music. These are the in-betweeners. These are people who are in between trying to be a grown-up from being a child. Recognize in-betweeners. See the adolescent rebellion and welcome it. Don't criticize it. Don't say you have to be one way or another. Look at it and smile, because one of the things about adolescence is a real successful adolescence is a testimony to your parenting skills. To have a child that needs to break away is testimony to the work that you've done, you know, and the family has done. To watch some young guy saying he's gonna dress different or grow his hair different or he's gonna bring over some wild girlfriend or something like that or the opposite. It's fine. It's fine. It's part of that urge. Adjust your attitude when necessary. If you've got an attitude that you just think is, you know, this is my family attitude and it gets challenged, adjust it. Adjust it. Show the change. And my friends, I guess there's a lot more to it that you know is important. I have a lot of answers myself and suggestions I have for you. What about you? Staying connected when apart is important. Today, the internet, I know there's a lot about the internet that's a negative, but there's something wonderful about staying connected. There's something wonderful about if you have a family and you want to send something around, like a photograph, like a movie that someone passes you that's cute and funny, and you send it to your family with a little comment on it. Here's a secret of staying connected by the internet. Always put something on the subject line. Always write something. Never leave the subject line blank. So if you're sending something to your sister, you know, put in it, find this cute. Anything you want, put something personal in it. It feels more personal. Don't skip the subject line. And by the way, by skipping subject line, a lot of the filters automatically take somebody and throw it in the spam filter. So that's one of the ways, is by skipping the subject line. So write something in the subject line and send things around. Make it simple to be together. Don't make it a big deal. Hey, what are you doing Sunday? You want to come over? And make it simple. You know, simple. We'll order pizza. You know, we'll get together. We'll do something. You know, we'll get some tofu. We'll do whatever it is you feel like doing. We'll make it simple. You know, we'll have a pie day. We'll have a day we'll do something. But, you know, if it means that you feel challenging, and you're one of those in-betweeners who feel like you want to disown your family, it's okay to make waves. It's okay if you disagree to make waves. If you sit around a group and they're all talking about, you know, the mighty George Bush and his cabinet, and you're sitting to it and you see how wonderful it was that they supported, they got rid of Iraq. And if it gets you and you want to make waves, don't be afraid to make waves. Don't bury yourself. Don't make waves for the sake of making waves, but bring whatever you can to your family. Because, you know, a family is like a body, a human body. Now, we learned yesterday that the heart has a very special mechanism in it. It senses the rhythms, and it looks for everything to be in rhythm. When something goes out of rhythm, the whole body gets upset. The heart sends a message, there's something wrong here. So if you decide that there is something wrong with the body of the family, it's your job. It's your job to be okay to make waves. But I'll tell you something. If people are undaunting, if you can't touch people, if you can't move people, leave them alone. Let them be themselves. You know, and just tell them, I disagree with you and I love you anyway. And I guess the last thing I want to say, which is very, very difficult, which is something happens in families that makes people become grudgeful. You feel a grudge with somebody in the family. And you feel, you know, you're really angry at somebody because they didn't support you when they needed to, when you needed them to support you, or something like that. Get rid of that grudge. That grudge is hiding something else inside of you, and it's not towards that person. Look out for those grudges. Don't hold a grudge in your family. Don't hold a grudge with people in your home. Let it go. If you're carrying it around, it's a signal that there is something else going on, not just what you think it is. And find out. Get to the bottom of that however you can. We're going to be taking a short break. Before we do, I want you to know that we have an announcement. Where is that announcement? From the Harvard Medical Letter. I guess that one is inside. Which is about the intermittent explosive disorder. Yes, remember we were doing a show on the intermittent explosive disorder? Well, they've now redefined road rage as being intermittent explosive disorder, now calling it IED, and seeing it as a separate thing, and it's little by little getting picked up here as people are paying more and more attention to it, and they're saying, where would I find this? Hold on a second. Hold on, I'm looking at my engineers. It says that it has become characteristic of really reflecting other disturbances that are clearly there. And it says that road rage drivers are not just angry. He says so are they. They're also, according to the Harvard Medical Letter, the new sickness is called IED, and they are asking states to require brain scans before issuing driver's licenses. Because in a brain scan, you could kind of see it. You know, you could see that, you know, a person does have this potential for road rage. And a person with IED cannot resist destructive behavior that is out of proportion to any provocation. And by showing which people have this IED and who doesn't have it, you're able to distinguish it. It usually goes along with the intermittent explosive disorder, usually goes along with other disorders that people would have, personality disorders, alcoholism, drugs, or stuff like that. But when you spot it and when you see it, understand this is exactly what it is. It blows up. It blows up out of nowhere. It's out of proportion to the situation. The person is angrier than they should be. Don't try to engage them. Try to see it, and if it's somebody you care about, try to get them some help, because treatment is really a form of anger management, you know, but it's more than that now. Nowadays, it's more than understanding the brain. It could be anything from a tumor to a hot spot in the brain. Certainly worth looking at. We have new technology to understand it. This is Armand DeMille. We are going to take a short break. When I come back from the break, I'm going to play you a little piece of music. I would like you to identify the singer. Yes. Yes. This is the task for you. We'll take our break. Michael G. Haskin will play some announcement, and then after that, I'll put on music. I want you to identify this singer. Our telephone number here is 209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls right after the break.
You got an accent. You ate the positive and healing. And ate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative and don't mess the mess in between. You gotta spread joy up to the maximum and bring bloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene.
Now, who is that singing? Sorry to interrupt that, my friends, but who is that singing voice? Who is that? I'm going to play more for it for you. Come on, who are you listening to?
To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said we better accentuate the positive and healing. And negative and latch on to the affirmative and don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
Now the same person is playing piano. That singer's playing this piano. Listen to that, friends. Pretty killer piano, don't you think? It's Clint Eastwood. Yep, Clint Eastwood is your singer, my friends. Who would have thunk it? Clint Eastwood, my friends. Armand DeMille here with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM. Clint Eastwood playing piano. Now, in case you didn't know about Clint Eastwood's talents, remember, he did Round Midnight. He was the one who directed Round Midnight, won an Academy Award for it as well. So it's, I mean, his involvement with jazz is phenomenal. His piano playing is phenomenal. His singing is just, well, it's questionable, but yeah, at least he got up there and tried, you know. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille talking about family and friends. You know, imagine if you could be able to bring that to your family, bring it to your friends as well. Just say, okay, let's guess who this singer is. People do that all the time. Old music from a long time ago is great. You know, you have a computer, you create a playlist of music that you all shared in childhood in one form or another and just have it on in the background. I remember seeing my grandmother once bopping her fingers to something from an old Italian song that somebody threw on, you know, on a phonograph. You know what a phonograph is? I met a child the other day who asked, what is a record? This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're going to be taking your calls, 212-209-2900. Let's take your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Armand.
Hey, who is this?
This is Evan from Staten Island.
Hello, Evans.
You know, your show, I listen to your show. It's got to be my number one show on BAI. I listen to your show whenever it is on. Never, ever miss it. But every time I listen to your show, it's always, like, it always gets me, doesn't get me depressed, but it always sounds so, I don't know why, did anyone ever bring this up to you, that the stuff you talk about has got to be, like, the most, like, it's very depressing, the thought that human beings are so, what's the word for it, they're so, like, chimpish. They're so, like...
No. It's okay. Okay. Well, you know, let me tell you about it. Let me explain it to you a little bit. The whole idea of it... I heard somebody yesterday when I played the opera, I heard someone respond and said to me, you know, I'm afraid to listen to the opera because when I listen to it, it tickles my heart in such a way that it makes me feel like, it makes my heart want to break open. So I think part of what I do is not just reflect to people that I think that they're chimpish, although bonobo, we're going to talk about quite a bit, but I think that people are, I think that people need
Hello,
their
BAI?
Hearts to be tickled.
Hello?
You know? Yes.
Speak up.
Hi there, you're on the air.
Stand by.
All right, I hear that, Michael. So I think people need to have their hearts touched. And one of the things I love about WBAI is that they say it's okay. The rest of the networks, they don't like you to touch your heart too much. They may give you something like, they'll show you some, they'll expose some people, or Oprah will show you some stuff that's meant to really wrench at your heart in a different way. My approach is different than that. Mine is, it's okay to be human, and it's okay to be touched. The heart brain is what I go for. The same thing we were talking about yesterday. Not just the intellect, because I think the intellect is interesting. It's the heart brain that counts. 212-209-2900. Let me take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Diana.
Diana?
Cyana.
Hi there.
Hi. I just love your program. Everybody starts by saying that they love your program, and I really didn't want to be one to say the same thing.
All right, say it different.
But I have to say that I stumbled on your program maybe a month ago, and it has really made a difference in my life because you seem to touch on everything. But today you were talking about being with your family and making people feel comfortable, and you even spoke about clutter in the house and stuff like that. I'm nervous. I never did this.
Well, okay, Cyana, just stick with me. Let me ask you something before we go into that. So Evans asked a question about, you know, somehow it's unlike all other recording. Would you say that the reason you love this program is because it touches your heart or because you learn things?
Well, I'm going to say that I learn, and mostly when you're talking about different topics, not only are you talking about what you know to be true, also I'm able to take something and I'm able to see in my life what's happened to me. Like you were talking about when people come home, do you say hi, call, and stuff like that. And I realized I had been doing that treatment to someone in my life. And although I really do, I take home very personal, and I love home. And by the way, the other day when you did the program on the bed, you know, do you love your bed? I wanted to get in, but I got cut off. So I love home, and I love home life, and I love family and stuff like that, and I try to make everybody comfortable. But there is that one person in my life that I've been doing the high call thing to, and when you were talking today, I realized, I said, you know what, I don't have to do that. Why am I doing this? I mean, so after I listen to your program, you know, I'm able to see some aspect in myself, something about myself that I really need to fix up, you know, or maybe let go. You know, today you were talking about you know, if you're in not a great place, let people know you're not in a great place.
Okay? Yeah, and that's a really wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and so I just love this aspect of what you talk about, and you know, people, you know, being people, you know, we're human, and you know, let's just be. So I kind of like that, you know. But what do I do to make my family comfortable? I will put candles. I love candles, so I thought maybe I was in a past life, maybe a witch or something like that, I don't know. But I like candles, and I like to put them on, and I like to do a nice incense. And my place is cleared out very nicely. You know, it's not cluttered, and that was an aspect of working with myself because I used to be cluttered also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So my home is very comfortable, and I love it. And people come in, and they're comfortable, and they sit down, and they feel at ease, and, you know, so that's it. I just wanted to share.
Well, Cyana, could you give us the address so we could go? No, don't do it. But you know, it sounds
well,
like
that's so funny. I almost did that. You know what? You were talking about there's so much that you get on. It's just unbelievable. One day you were talking about healing energies and stuff like that. And I wanted to call and tell you that I'm a Reiki master, and you know, you were talking about touch. And, you know, all this is so very important in who we are, you know, being touched and touching other human beings and, you know. But anyway, I could go on. I don't want people to hold on. I want other people to be able to get through to you also.
You're a very generous person, Cyana. So thank you very much.
Please keep up the good work. Okay?
I'll be here. Actually, we're going to be back On next Tuesday, we'll be here. But then the marathon for WBAI, which is the fundraising marathon, where I ask all of you to contribute whatever you can. But very special programming take place starting next Wednesday. So I'll be with you on Tuesday. In fact, I'm going to bring you a special program on Tuesday about our closest living relatives, the bonobos. Yes, the bonobos. I'm telling you, it's not an Italian family. There was, I knew a family by the name of Bonobo, but there is a group of our, we've located something, 98% identical DNA to humans, 98, highest percentage of all, about as close to humans as a wolf is to a dog. Got that? So, you know, there's a lot of instinct in there. We're going to do a program on that this Tuesday coming up. Don't miss that one. Sayana, you're going to love that as well. And then I won't be back until a week later, which will be the 10th, because that's when the special programming and everything gets changed at WBAI for all of October. But then I'll be back with you on the 10th, and I'll do a two-hour special program. So be sure to tune in, my friends, next Tuesday, because we've got the thing about the bonobos. And I'll be doing that with Roberta Maria Atti. Really special. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand, this is Joan Darrow. I've been doing a show at WBAI on Fridays at 11.
That's right, Joan, yes.
Yeah. And I don't believe we've had the pleasure of meeting, but anyway.
I looked for you once at a meeting, at a recent staff meeting. I was wondering who you were. I asked a couple of people. I don't know if you go to the staff meetings very often.
No, I haven't been to a staff meeting.
Yeah.
I'm pretty new. But, Armand, I must say, I was having lunch, and I just, a smile on my face, all just when you spoke about home and entertaining. And I agree with everything. There is really not I can't even say I would add anything, because when I entertain, I always have music, and I encourage people to dance, as I do on my show, too. And you just sound like such a lovely person. And the next time that I have any kind of a party, I would like you to come.
Yes, and get over to the staff meetings, too, because we could use your energy there.
Well, thank you so much.
So tell people the name of your program.
It was the Joan Darrow Show. Now it's Stepping Out with Joan Darrow, and we've been doing it on Fridays at 11 o'clock in the morning. And nevertheless, I will not be doing it tomorrow. And then, as you know, of course, there's the fundraising. But I hope to be
back
soon.
But I'll have people keep a heads up for it, Joan. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much, Armand.
Sure. Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good. Who is this?
Yes, my name is Hartley, and I live over here on the island.
Hartley on what island?
Long Island, sorry.
Oh, Long Island. I thought it could be Staten Island.
Yes,
it could be Fire Island. It could be City Island.
Yeah, I'm a regular listener to your show, and sometimes when I work, I work between units sometimes, and most of the time when I get off to go to the other unit, it's like 1:30, 25 to 2, so most of the time I catch half, you know, the last half an hour or so. But to make it short, I'm a lover of the opera. Now, I don't know where this came from. I guess it came from back home in the West Indies, where I was born and raised. I've been here for the last 35 years. We have a thing that every Sunday, there's music being played, but it's religious music. And this was something in the island of Barbados that we had all the time. So when I was at school, we had a music class, and there was this one teacher who taught us about opera and, you know, and the arts and stuff. And I've developed this profound love for the opera. And one of my favorite singers is Placido.
Mm-hmm.
And Placido sings this tune that, just thinking about it, raises the hair on my skin and I get chills. Ora de Amorosa.
What is the Amorosa? Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely.
It is so gorgeous. And for some reason, whenever I hear this tune, I'm not depressed or anything. The tears just run down.
Well, we were kind of talking about that, you know.
Where
do those tears come from, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, everybody, whoever loves opera, you know, where did these tears come from when you hear something beautiful, and you hear something like this, for example, for you?
Yes, that was really good. And I happened to be
on... How about this? Let me stay with me a minute, Audrey.
Pavarotti as well, but I just think, you know.
So is your name really Hartley?
Yes, it is.
How do you spell that?
Hartley.
What a beautiful thing.
Thank you very much.
We talk about people who function from the heart, you know, and there you are, Hartley himself.
Yeah.
And that's what it strokes, Hartley, you know. You know, a man wrote me a letter yesterday. He said, well, people... The reason that opera is so beautiful is for the message that it conveys.
Exactly.
But that's one message. But, you know, I don't even have to understand. I don't care.
That's right.
I mean, to me, it's a message that's conveyed without actual words.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. There are two Italian ladies who work with me on my job as well. And sometimes I do know a little bit of Latin, so some of the words I can understand. But anything I don't understand, I just ask them, and they're only too happy to clarify it for me.
You're a beautiful man.
Yeah.
Hartley, I think you bring something to Long Island, and they bring something to our radio station. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you very much for listening.
Anytime. Beautiful people. You know what I mean? Beautiful people.
Sia la santa poesia e l'ultimo bisogno dell'esistenza mia, dell'esistenza mia.
To have a radio program where they tell you do whatever you feel like doing. I'll tell you, if I had to sell cat food now, I'd be in real trouble. I did actually had a job once at a program where on a station where they had me selling cat food and SO oil and stuff like that, and I just said, oh, I can't do it. Welcome, WBAI. WBAI, which is supported only by your money, my friends. You know, and I'm only reminding you this because when they start their fund drive, you know, be as generous as you could be, because this program comes to you through the auspices of WBAI. 212-209-2900, time for a couple of more calls. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. It's funny that you guys are talking about family today, because I've been having some things in my mind about my own family, and... One of the things that you mentioned that really struck me is that it's okay to say to your family members that, listen, I don't agree, but I love you anyway.
Yep.
The only problem is I haven't been able to even say that. So this is the dynamic. First of all, hi, I'm Erica from Queens.
Hi, Erica.
And Hello. And this is the situation. I have a male, older family member. He's actually the only male, older family member that is in my tight-knit family. And his behavior for some time has been questionable, you know, womanizing and doing some pretty raunchy stuff to his mate. And the thing that drags the family into it is that we're close-knit families, and we all live so close to each other that, you know, we have meals together often, and so it's very extended. But
has he ever crossed the boundary with you?
Yeah, well, yes, he has. Yeah, so I'm a little apprehensive about that, too.
Have you ever talked to him about that?
I've yelled at him about it.
Uh-huh. And since then?
You know, it's like we tried, and it's not just with me, because it can, you know, he takes turns with whomever.
Mm-hmm.
It usually tends to be that he's not on the best behavior, but he'll kind of like, you can tell that he tries his best to manage his feelings, but sometimes he just lets it go.
Yeah, you know, that's like the intermittent explosive disorder. I know people who are just like that. It comes out with sexual inappropriateness, and
yes.
It kind of bursts out. You know, it's kind of a funny thing. And it just kind of bursts out. All of a sudden, he's controlling it, and he can't control himself anymore because it's like that. It's an illness. And maybe he has to get some attention. Maybe the family's got to demand, you know, in some way that he gets some attention for this. Maybe bring him somewhere and say, you can't do this.
Well, you know, I'm calling you because I feel like I'm alone in this, because I've approached four matriarchs in my family who would be the ones to kind of stand beside me and address this to him in a loving, you know, coming from a loving place. So it's not like I'm criticizing or we're criticizing, and it's not like I'm the only one who sees this destructive behavior. So it's like, yet when I approach anyone to say, hey, listen, maybe we should come together and kind of have some kind of intervention and tell them,
all right,
you know.
Now let me say something, since I've got a couple of minutes here and I want to spend my time with you. Let me ask you this. This is an uncle in your family or what?
Yes.
He's an uncle,
yes.
Right?
Yes, he is.
Where's your dad stand in this?
Well, it's on my mother's side, and my dad hasn't really been a dad since I was six. So
all right.
He's not involved.
Okay, are you really angry at your dad?
No. I don't feel like I am.
Are you close to him?
Not in a personal way, but I care for him. Mm-hmm. It's not that we talk to each other about deep things that often.
Why not?
Because I think my father kind of has washed his hands of me, in a
oh
way.
Oh, boy. Okay. So here you have the same issue twice, a kind of disregard of your personal needs.
Yeah.
Twice happening. And so you get it, you grow an extra sensitivity to it. So here's one of the things I would say. I would say work on that relationship with your father as well. And that if there is no way to do it, you've got to find a way to make peace with it. Because if the rest of them are willing to put up with it, they've got to put up with it. Unless you see him crossing boundaries with some of the younger people in the family who can't take care of themselves. But try to let go of your focus. Try to let it go. Try to let it go. You know that if it comes anywhere near you, you're going to step on his foot.
I wouldn't say is it wrong, but do you think that what we're just talking about, like my own issues seeping in, do you think that what I'm going to mention to you right now is this? I feel like to talk to him would be to perhaps help him see maybe some of the errors in his life, because when I was little, I used to live with my grandmother and my uncle, and I grew up with him because we're only 6 years apart. And,
yeah.
I'm womanizing early. So the only point I'm trying to say is that I care for his mate, and I care for his children, and I see what this behavior in particular is doing.
Just that you're at a point now where you're going to wind up trying to alienate the family, and I think it takes a little deeper examination than that.
Okay.
You know? I wish you luck with it.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I've got to be going back with you on Tuesday. Don't forget, special Tuesday, 1 o'clock with Roberta Maria Atti. We'll be doing the Bonobos. If you want to listen to today's program, go to thepositivemind.com.